Our second scripture reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will, from an old prophet, Amos. So if you would turn to Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 17, and you can find that on page 806 of the Hebrew Bible in your pew Bible. I would hazard a guess that this may be one of perhaps two, maybe three passages of Amos you've ever heard, unless you've made the effort to read the entire book. But this one may come true. It certainly will come true, but the question is whether you recognize it. So hear these words. This is what he showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah. Earn your bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore thus says the Lord, your wife shall become a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be parceled out by line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The epistle lesson today is Paul's letter to the Colossians, found on page 188 in your New Testament. We'll be starting at chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Hear these amazing words of love. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you, just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehend the grace of God. This you learn from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your spirit, love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from His glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure anything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The word of God for the people of God.
The Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Will continue on in Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. We're sort of bouncing around, but following through a lot of these excellent stories about Jesus' adult ministry in the Holy Land. If you'd like to follow along, and as always, I encourage you to do that, it's on page 67 in the New Testament in your pew Bible, or perhaps you brought your own. Hear these words. But then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And the lawyer answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the lawyer asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So, likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three, do you think, was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the lawyer said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, I probably couldn't have asked for a better lead line. Jim Barry and I were talking this morning, and he looked at me and he said, what does a plumb line have to do with loving your neighbor? And I said, you got to wait. So let's talk about what a plumb line has to do with loving your neighbor. This last lesson, the lesson from Luke, the gospel, if you think about it, it's fairly straightforward. Jesus is telling the lawyer, love your neighbor. Well, I believe that it's really about something very different. I think it's all about how we measure up to God's standards. How do you measure up to the Lord's standards? This image from the prophecy of Amos is the same one that's on the cover of your bulletin. So if you haven't looked at that, you might do that now. And I'm not sure how many of you know what a plumb line is, but that is one. And as you may be aware, A plumb line is something builders use. It's a long cord with a weight on the end, and it's used to measure either perpendicularity, how straight something is to perpendicular, or it's used to measure depth off the side of a ship. A plumb line is used to measure depth. Now, this is something I learned in my research for this sermon. Do you know what that weight is called on the end of the plumb line? Say again? Okay. It seems really obvious because people have heard of it. That's known as the plumb bob, B-O-B. It's the weight. But if you look a little deeper, it turns out that there's another word for that weight, and it's called a plummet. P-L-U-M-M-E-T, a plummet, is the weight on the end of the plumb line, which doesn't mean anything here or there, except that it's kind of interesting. In the case of Amos, this image is helpful because at that time, builders used them, just like builders use them now, to make sure that a wall of bricks or stones is lined up, to make sure that they're perpendicular to the ground, perpendicular to the foundation of the building. And God uses this image with Amos to point out to this prophet, to Amos himself, that God's people have not fully aligned themselves with God's purposes. These people, both as a community and as individuals, were not lined up with God's design. And this really is also at the heart of Luke's story. Think about that. The lawyer who comes to test Jesus, and it occurs in three of the four Gospels, this lawyer is asking Jesus what must he do in order to inherit eternal life. He's saying, in effect, Lord, how do I measure up? And Jesus, like any good teacher, answers his question with a question of his own. And it turns out that the lawyer knows the scripture well. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And that prompts the lawyer to push him a little further, and he says, but Lord, who is my neighbor? And then we have the familiar story of the Good Samaritan. I believe that that Bible lesson really ought to prompt us to ask the same question as Jesus was asking of the lawyer. How do you measure up to God's standards? I want you to take a look at that graphic in the bulletin. It's listed under God's plumb line. And let us think about these standards that were placed there by Jesus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. This is God's plumb line. There are actually six bricks, if you will, six bricks in the wall of your faith. Six measures of your faithfulness to God. And there you see them. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. Love your neighbor is a separate brick. And love yourself is the final one. Now let's think about them in turn. To love God with all your heart. Is your faith something that you feel? Something that touches your emotions? When you're here on a Sunday morning in worship with our faith community, do you ever feel the presence of the Holy Spirit? Do you make an effort when you're here to connect with God? To connect in prayer. The second brick, love God with all your soul. Are you a Christian person of integrity? Are you as strong a Christian at the core as you are on the outside? Do you live a lifestyle of faith every day of the week or only on Sunday? Maybe it's only for the hour that you're in church. Do you walk the talk of Christianity and faith? Love God with all your strength, the third brick that needs alignment. This is the physical dimension. Do you treat your body as the temple of the Spirit? Do you recognize your responsibility of stewardship with this gift of your corporal being? Love God with all your mind. This, I believe, is the intellectual dimension. God has given each of us a brain and asks that you use it to learn more about your world and more about the Word of God. When is the last time that you studied the Bible? Love your neighbor. Clearly, this is the immediate lesson that we take from the story of the Good Samaritan. God is calling each of us to go beyond what feels comfortable, to reach out to another person in need, to inconvenience ourselves, to help a brother or a sister. When is the last time that you helped another person face to face and hand to hand? Love yourself. It's so easy to think of Christianity as a selfless ideal. But God calls each of us to love ourselves just as God loves you. The lesson is to love your neighbor as yourself. If we are to love one another, God has asked that you love that other person to the extent that you love yourself. When was the last time that you gave yourself the benefit of the doubt when you were looking at your own shortcomings? So how do you measure up to God's standards? I really revel in that image of the plumb line. I think it's wonderful. And it may actually remind you of a similar idea that comes to us from our founder, John Wesley. Wesley teaches us in lots of his writings about three forms of God's grace. He talks about prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace. My lovely wife Jane rolls her eyes when I start talking about grace. But I wonder if you've heard of these ideas before. Because it's important to think about justifying grace. God offers us help in aligning ourselves, justifying ourselves with God's standards. Now, in the modern world, in the 21st century, we talk about justifying. A lot of us think about it when you're printing a document, when you're writing a document on the computer or on. How many of you remember typewriters? Yeah, okay, remember, right? You still have one. Sure. Do you remember what it is to justify the margin? It means that you line up all your writing. And that's what God is asking of us, that we line ourselves up with God's purposes. And it's the same image, roughly, it's the same image as the plumb line that God addressed the people of Israel with. Now, clearly, if we're honest with ourselves, God has some very high standards of those of us who would follow Jesus Christ. The call to discipleship is rigorous indeed. But God also provides us with the help that we need to realign ourselves, to justify ourselves with God's purposes. The Lord holds the plumb line. But the Lord also helps you to line up the bricks of your wall of your faith. God loves you that much. Shalom. Amen.